I was minding my own business Friday evening, watching some golf, about 10:30, and I got a text from Pastor, and he said, "Hey, our flight's being canceled. It's going to be delayed. Would you be able to share Sunday morning?" I said, "Sure." And so I told him, it's always an honor to lift up Jesus. And so I didn't think he'd be here today. So the heat started to heat up. And then I turned around and I seen Brother and Sister Swagger here. What's going on? And Brother Teal's here. And it's like, and I'm up here? It's hot. My mouth is dry. So pray for me, please. It's an honor for me, really, to serve on the elder board again. I want you to know our heart. God has called us to come around Pastor Josh and assist him in lifting up Jesus Christ and help make disciples. Our heart's desire, church, is that everyone that comes through the doors will know Jesus. And we can mentor. And so, we again tell you, pray for us. We're here to serve you. We're here to love you. We're here to walk with you. And we know, as we're fasting every Saturday for our services, that God is ready to do something wonderful here. And so please join us in believing when you're coming to the house of God that something wonderful, something powerful, something life-changing is ready to happen when we open our hearts and we listen to the Spirit of God. Because this is the truth, church. You're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose. God has given you a gift to serve in the kingdom of God. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you to reach boys and girls and men and women for Jesus. And if we will follow him and listen to him as he speaks individually to each one of us, we are going to stand in awe of what God will do here. To God be the glory. Amen. If you haven't noticed by now, there is a flat tire up here. I was going to ask who is responsible for that, but I think Cindy Rainsberger knows. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, the flat tire. This morning I'm going to lead you through the words of Jesus. These are his words we're going to look at today. And we're going to ask this question: how important are the words of Jesus? How important are the words of Jesus? I'm going to read several passages, but I'd like you to stand with me as we read the first passage and ask God's prayer blessing over this. Would you stand with me as I read? I'm going to read in John, the 6th chapter, verse 62 and 63. John 6, 62 and 63. These are the words of Jesus. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus. God, I thank you again for an opportunity to stand in front of your people. And God, you know all things. Lord, we've talked about these passages many, many times over the last 24 hours. And Lord, I've asked you and I've cried out to you to show me what words you want spoken. And so today, with confidence, Lord, I will read what you have spoken in your word. And God, I'm asking today, God, that every heart, every mind, every ear, every eye in this sanctuary will be opened. Lord, that there would be a mighty move of your Spirit today. Father, I ask you that you would flood in a special way. God, take over. Lord, we are a needy people, and we need you. Help us never to forget that. We need you. And so, Father God, I thank you. I thank you in advance what you're going to do as you speak to each one of us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The words of Jesus Christ recorded in this passage are the very words he spoke while he was in the flesh on this earth. He said that his words are spirit and they are life. His words are different than our words. His words are eternal. His words give life everlasting. His words will change our hearts if we obey them. His words are powerful. They are true. They are pure. They are holy. His words will guide us every day that we live. Amen. Another passage of Jesus' words. Turn with me over to John chapter 12, verse 44. I'll read again. This passage, Jesus spoke to those of the Jewish faith, those that would always question him, always challenging him, always confronting him. They did not believe that he was the Savior. They did not believe he was the Messiah. And listen to what Jesus said on this particular day. Verse 44, it says, Jesus cried. This cry was not from the eye. This cry was from the voice. He lifted up his voice as a town crier back in the New England state days when somebody would come on the town square and cry out a message, pronounce, proclaim a message. It says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sendeth me, seeth him that sent me. He's talking about God the Father. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that the commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Jesus spoke words all throughout the four Gospels. Every one of his words are spirit and life. His words will never change. They are forever settled in heaven. What Jesus teaches and commands is spoken to and includes everyone he creates. We must decide if we will accept them and obey them. One familiar passage is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. After he arose from the grave, this was spoken to his first disciples, and it includes everyone who decides to follow Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus. He spoke these words after he arose from the grave. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We ask ourselves this question: what is a disciple? What is a disciple of Jesus? Here's a definition. A disciple of Jesus is a person who follows Jesus to know Jesus and his teaching, to grow more like Jesus, and to go for Jesus, serving others and making new disciples. So we ask this question, how do I become a disciple of Jesus? The very first message that Jesus preached, and it's still true when he came from the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said to repent and believe in the gospel. This gospel is good news. A Savior from heaven came and took our place on a cross and shed his blood for our sins. He died and he rose from the grave and now asks us to repent and follow him. I turn to a passage in Matthew now. More words of Jesus. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says this. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The words of Jesus. Again, I turn to a passage in the book of Mark, chapter 16. I'm going to read 15, verse 15 and 16. Another account of the words of Jesus. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me read that again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. These are the words of God. How important are the words of Jesus? Turn over with me to Acts. This baptism that Jesus was referring to here when he was teaching his disciples, this was a water baptism. And we know that Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist to give us an example that we should be water baptized like he was. But there's a greater baptism than water baptism. And when Jesus came to his disciples, after he was risen from the grave, and they were on the mount, and he was giving them their final goodbye before he ascended into heaven, he said these words to his disciples. It's recorded in the first chapter of Acts. I'm going to read in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Spirit baptized. The power comes out of heaven when we are spiritually baptized by God himself. You shall be filled with power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. What will the witness be when this power comes upon us? What will this witness be? It will be a power within us to tell whoever and whenever that Jesus Christ has saved our soul. He has changed us, and we love him, and we want to serve him, and we want to live to give him honor and glory. Amen? Do you have this power this morning, church? It's available for everyone. Everyone. So we come to the flat tire. Have you ever had a flat tire? We know the flat tire syndrome. I took this tire off of a wheelbarrow. And every time I want to use the wheelbarrow, the tire is flat. It's frustrating. The wheelbarrow doesn't work right unless the tire is filled with air. Then, and only then, is the tire usable on the wheelbarrow. A spare tire also has no purpose if it's flat. Amen? A spare tire's purpose is to be used when there is a flat tire. But what happens if the spare is flat? Then you have two problems because you have two flat tires. What does this mean, church? We cannot truly serve in the kingdom of God until we are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Jesus has told us, without me, you can do nothing. Amen? How important is it to be filled with God's Spirit? I want to read to you a true story of someone . A baby girl was born in Putnam County, New York, on March the 24th, 1820. This baby was part of a Presbyterian family. At 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. And it is believed that she received improper treatment, which caused her to become blind. From a man who pretended to be a doctor. That same year, her father died, and she was then raised by her mother and grandmother. What is possible with a blind child? The child eventually entered the New York School for the Blind. Her skills as a musician were well noted, and they showed that she had incredible memory and intelligence. Later on, she joined the faculty at the school and married Alexander Van Alstyn, who was also blind and a teacher at the school. What is possible with a blind married couple? During the 1840s, she didn't identify with any one particular denomination. However, at the age 30, she experienced a conversion and a filling by Jesus Christ. Her church was witnessing to those men on the margins of society. The men were homeless. She began to write hymns, 6 or 7 hymns a day, and her hymns were being sung at many evangelistic services in the United States and in Great Britain. At the age of 49, she wrote, "Rescue the Perishing." After she met the men who were housed at a New York Rescue City mission. But she's blind. She can't even see them. She was concerned about their spiritual well-being and earnestly pleaded with the men that if there was someone who had wandered from his mother's home and teaching, to please come and see her at the end of the service. A young man came up to her and said that he would like to see his mother in heaven. But according to the way he was living his life, he was convinced it was not possible. With ardent prayer with her and with everyone attending the service, he accepted God's saving grace that night. And that night, when she went home, she wrote the words to the hymn, "Rescue the Perishing." She would later in her lifetime write over 8,000 songs. And we still sing her songs today. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Her name, Fanny Crosby. Let me read to you the song, the words to this song, Rescue the Perishing. Here was a blind woman. What could she possibly do in her life? But she had a conversion, and she had a filling from the Spirit of God, and she had a heartbeat to help rescue people who were lost in sin. Church, how do we compare? How is our heartbeat? How is our burden for the lost? Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting. Waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. He will forgive if only they will believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Do you believe that today, church? In closing, I ask again, how important are the words of Jesus? We all will find out soon when we step over to the other side. We're going to find out how important the words that Jesus has spoken to us. So I humbly ask you these questions, church, because I love you. And I care about you. Have you repented of all of your sins? Have you been water baptized? Have you been filled with God's Spirit? Have you taken up your cross and daily follow Jesus? Listen to the words of Jesus one more time. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Come Let us reason together, saith the Lord. I want to read a scripture in closing. And I'll ask the worship singers if you would come and prepare to lead us in a final song. How important is a church to be filled with the Spirit of God? The Apostle Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. That man was radically changed, radically converted on the road to Damascus. Radically. They said of Paul, when he came into a town, there was either a revival or a riot, because he was going to lift up Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And he wrote this to the Roman church. But church, he writes it also to the Bars Mill Church of God. I beseech you, therefore, this word beseech, strong urging, compelling, a strong compelling. I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it mean, church, to present our bodies? What does that mean? In the Old Testament, when you came to the tabernacle or to the temple, you had to bring an animal, and the animal was brought and killed. It was sacrificed and laid on the altar. The blood was shed, and God received. He received that offering. But now Paul admonishes us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And when we do that, church, he will fill us. He will fill us with his Spirit, so that he can use us to reach the world with the gospel. Amen. This is the exciting part of the gospel, church. He wants to use us, but he can't use us until he fills us. So I want to ask you to stand, church. I want to ask you to stand as I pray. And I want to tell you what my heart is saying to God right now. I want to be filled again. So I'm going to come this morning and stand by the altar. And I'm going to ask God to fill me, that I can be a servant, I can be a disciple. And if you also want to be filled this morning by the Spirit of God, you come and stand with me, and we will pray together after the song has been sung. And we will ask God to fill us for His honor and His glory. Father God, I thank you again. I praise you again for your Spirit, for your presence. God, we can't do this without you. We need you. God, we are asking as an elder board that you would flood into these services and that one day this building would be filled with people. But we can't do it, Father, until we are filled with your Spirit. And so, God, I humbly ask in the name of Jesus, those hearts that are yearning to be used and yearning to be a disciple, that they would come today and be filled with your Spirit. And we will praise you and honor you with our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.